would be here this day and what would be on their hearts. And Lord, that you would, in that time, before time, Lord, you would speak. Coming out of your word, Lord, would be a blessing for your children today. We're asking, Lord, that you just come and be among us today. We believe that you are. We each one brought just a little portion of you here. And Lord, we just come together in unity and put all of our links of fire together, Lord, that this place, this people today would be warmed by your presence, Lord. We pray, God, that you break the bread of life to us today. Lord, feed us, give us the strength that comes from your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's let the musicians go and have their seats and enjoy the song service. Amen. I like a lot of those old time songs. I like the new ones too, but those old ones are just timeless. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with you today. We'll go ahead and open our Bibles. We're going to start in Isaiah chapter 60. Getting closer to September. Closer to October. Yeah. There's already been a couple of mornings that I've walked out and I feel that, you know, that fall spirit that you feel come over you.
Right.
It's so nice, you know. Amen. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 and 2. And this is the scriptures that, one part of the scriptures, Brother Brandon read in the sermons called Shalom. Amen. Verse 1, arise, shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness to people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Amen. And then I want to read from 1 John chapter 1. 5 through 10. How many is glad for the Bible, for the Word of God?
Amen.
Amen. No matter how many, if there was going to be another 10,000 years of time, this Word would still be true.
That's right.
It always will be throughout eternity. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank God. If we say that we have no sin and we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. You may be seated. The title is today, Walking in the Light of Your Day. Amen. And before I do, I just want to take a moment to give honor to Sister Barbara Ristler. Most of us have known her for quite a ways, a long ways back. I think pretty much we met her as soon as we found out that there was a message and came into a message church. We met her way back then. And so we just want to say that she was a wonderful person and a powerful woman. You know, for her to have been experienced the loss of her husband so many years ago and was such a large family, I think she's done a wonderful job pressing on as a believer and raising her children and her family in the admonition of God. And she, around the nation, maybe, I don't know, maybe around the world, I don't know, but is more like a legacy. Amen. And so we just want to give honor to our sister and the life she lived, and we know that she's on the fields of glory now. She's over there, and we look forward to seeing her. Amen. We can all say that our lives here have been blessed by knowing her.
Amen.
So may the Lord bless the family as they are mourning the passing of such a great person who's influenced so many. And so we know that the Lord will be with them this time pray that if there's any of their family that maybe don't know the Lord, that there's time of sorrow, that the Holy Spirit would reach out to them. You know, because time's running out. God's gathering his people, and we should expect God to be bringing them in. Amen. So may the Lord bless each one of them. And so walking in the light of your day, Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. Now, in just a few moments, I'm going to speak a little bit about the properties of light. And I don't want you to get lost in when I start talking about those things, because I'm taking you somewhere on this when I say this. And I say, because we know that science itself testifies of God, right? God is the creator of science, right? He's the creator. And I don't, you know, I'm not saying what man does with it, but when you get right down to the raw creation of things, God's gospel is testified in science. And so we'll be talking about those things, but like I said, I don't want you to get lost in terminology. I want you to listen to what I'm saying, because natural type spiritual, and there are things laying there that I probably wouldn't even try to talk about today, that I even myself have some hard ways of understanding. But Isaiah chapter 60, where we read there that there would be a time of darkness, great time of gross darkness, as the scripture would say. But God is declaring that in that time, that light has risen and the glory of the Lord has risen upon his people. When you're looking at this, we know this, if you read on in the scriptures there, you're talking about how that God is once again going to bring Israel back to their homeland, and how that once again all the Gentiles will come and they'll be blessed and they'll honor Israel. And so we know Israel is a type of the church. And as Israel has been scattered, God would bring them back to their homeland to fulfill his word physically. That is a type of how that the church had been scattered with denominations and all that, the bride. And yet God at the end would bring us back to this promised word. Amen? And so we realize that at the end, it's a very troublesome time. Have you ever looked at the news recently of what's going on over there, and all the nations seem like they're turning their back on Israel? Because the scripture said so. Right? And so it looks like a very dark, very, very dark time. Right? And the same thing as far as believers, as Christians. Everything just mounting up more and more against Christianity. So it looks like a dark time. But the scripture said that in that dark hour to look, because the glory of the Lord is rising upon his people. Yeah. Right? Rising upon. And so you might look at that and say, how could all that, those threats of war and everything over there, how could that be glorious and be light? And so, but the scripture said it is. Because we know that as they do these things, that God's word is in control, and God is about to move and is moving, obviously is, and all this coming together is just his word being fulfilled. All these things that come out against Christianity, that's just his word being fulfilled. And because we can look at that roadmap and see where we're at, we can rejoice because we know what's coming next. Right? So we can be happy about that. And so it's very glorious, you know. And so, but you know, as we get into this talking about lights, you know, you have to, a person who's blind, well, they're not affected by light, right? And so for a person to be able to see, you have to have receptors for light, right? And so things could be going on that God has declared is light coming to pass and rising up on the earth, but it's only light to those who have receptors for it. They're the only ones that see it. And everybody else will look back and say, I don't see nothing in that. That's a terrible thing. That's nothing but darkness. But we realize that it is glory, the glory of the Lord that has risen upon us. And so light is something that allows us to be able to see, to be able to navigate without tripping, without falling, without walking off a cliff or running into something. It's required. No matter what day you rise up, you get up tomorrow, you're going to need light to be able to navigate and move around and not hurt yourself or run into somebody or something like that. And so light is something that allows us to be able to see. And so no matter how difficult the terrain is and whatever it might be, if you have light, then you can properly assess and, hey, I can go this way. I better not go that way. It's too dangerous. Light gives you the ability to navigate through the day and get to where you need to go and to do it safely. Right. right? That's what light does for us. And like I said, you have to have receptors for it. And so, but without light, even the simplest of terrain is, it can be treacherous, right? How many's ever, I've done this before, you know, that maybe the lights would go out or something would happen and you would need to maybe try and move to a door. And you move over there and you think you're at the door. You've done your best to get there, and you get there and you find out you're about 4 or 5 feet off. Because you're, how many's ever had that happen? Because you, or you know, they put your blindfold on and spin you around or whatever, and you think you're going to go pin the tail on a donkey, and you think it's over here and it's really over there. Because you were blind. So you understand the concept that without light, without receptors to that light, and without light, you don't know where you're going.
Right.
You don't understand a thing about where you're going, and therefore you can't have any confidence on your journey. You can't have any confidence on getting where you think you're going because you don't have light. But so light gives you the ability, and so light gives you confidence in your daily walk or in whatever it is you're trying to do. And so we're thankful. We're thankful for those things. We want to have confidence. And so these things that we're talking about, just it's true both naturally and spiritually that you need light for your journey. We believe that. And so whatever age, like I said, whatever day you wake up, you're going to wake up tomorrow or someday this week, and you're going to need light. And so we must admit that in this hour, as far as Christianity is concerned, that if we want to navigate safely as Christians, we want to get to where we're going, if we want to get through this age of darkness, remember, because in the you know, it showed it's totally blacked out,
right,
that in order for that to happen in an hour of great gross darkness, we have to have light. There has to be something that can show us how to get through this age and get us to rapture, right, and do it safely, because without it, we're done. Right? We know that. And so, not telling you something you don't know, but just bringing these thoughts together for something this morning. And so, wherever you find yourself, and we find ourselves here at the closing out of the Laodicean ages. So, guess what? For the Laodicean age, there is a need for light.
Right.
Like all other ages, there need to be something that would allow us to walk through this age and be safe. And you realize that God takes care of His own. God is... He takes care of His own. He provides what they need. And so we know that God has provided light for us to walk in today. Because the scripture said, if we walk in the light, if we walk in the light as He's in the light, well then we can have fellowship one with the other, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, will cleanse us from all sins. If we walk in the light. But what happens if you don't walk in the light? What if you don't have that? If you don't walk in the light, you will not have fellowship with God's people.
Right.
Right? And you will not have access to the blood, and you will not have forgiveness of your sins.
Right.
So it's very, very plain right there to understand that. So you have to walk in the light that He provides,
right, yeah,
for a given day, for the day that we're in. It can't be about something from previous day. If it was dark and I would shine a flashlight in this room today and you'd be able to move around today, and then tomorrow you come in here and you're trying to navigate off of today's light. Now listen, I know you've heard this stuff. I know you've heard that you can't live by a bygone day. But I want you to understand how detrimental it is that if you try to hang on to something other than the current day word that God has given for us to walk in, it is death to do so. It is treacherous to do so. And that's just how simple it is that we have to walk in the light for our day. And so God takes care of His own, and He has provided light for us to walk in today. And so, but it depends. First of all, it depends on whether or not people have receptors for the light of the day. But then even beyond that, even if you have receptors and you see it, it depends on what you do with that light. You can ignore it. I mean, remember Brother Man saying, I refuse to believe there's sunlight. I've locked myself in a basement. Right? If people refuse to believe that God has done something in our day, if we refuse to believe that light is shining, then that has great effect on your life because you've not used what God has sent, right? It matters what our opinion is to what God has done. It matters how what we see when we look upon that, because we know, like, well, that man called me a buzzard. Well, you know what? Every time I hear him calling me an eagle. Same words. So it matters what you see, what you're looking at, and the way you interpret it matters. And then what I'm saying here is going to come out a little bit further as we talk about these things this morning. It matters what we do with the Word of God and how we assess it, what we see it to be. Amen. And so God has provided light for us in this day. And so we understand that the only true light that you can walk in is God's vindicated Word. Not just His Word. Because I could tell you, we've read something, well, I think this is what it means, and be wrong. And later on we find out, oh, that was wrong. I didn't have the right idea about that. Right? And so it's not just walking in God's Word, but it's walking in the vindicated Word. The vindicated Word, that's something you can walk in.
Right.
Right? But not trying to walk in what some man's interpretation of the Word is. Because if it's not right, you're going to fall. But when God takes this word and He vindicates it, He proves what it is. And the way He does that is by bringing it to pass. And once you see Him bring that to pass, and you know that God has spoke, He has clarified what this means, He's made it clear to you, then you can hang your soul on that. You can walk in that. You can navigate through your day with that truth once God has vindicated it. Amen. And so, it's that kind of thing that when that happens, now you can have confidence
right. In
what you're doing.
Yeah.
Right? You got to know what you're doing, how to do it. Right? And so God provides us for these things. And so this, when the word becomes vindicated for your day, I'm not saying, even vindicated word from previous day. That's light. But that was light for yesterday.
Yeah.
What's the light right now that I can benefit from right now?
Yeah, right.
Not man's false light, but God's vindicated word. That's the only thing that we can truly navigate in this day and be overcomers with.
Right.
Amen. And so we want to get through this age safely. We want to get to our destination. We want to get to rapture, and we want to get there with all of our children, all of our family, loved ones, and as many as we can take with us.
Yes.
Right? Now, you can't make somebody be seed if they're not. Right?
Right.
But there's promises in this word that tell us that our families can be there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so, depends on how you see it.
Right.
Depends on how you observe it. What is it saying to you? Because that matters.
Right.
Amen. And so we definitely want to get through to rapture, body change. And so we realize that the only way to do that is to walk in light. Now, God is in that light. Because the scripture said, if we walk in the light as He is in the light. But we realize that scripture, we read it, God is light.
Right.
But he dwells in the very light that He is. In other words, like Jesus came down and he's like, I'm the door to the sheepfold, and if anybody comes any other way than the door, right? But He came through the door. He came through His own word. He came and was an expression of the very word that He was.
Right.
And so everybody has to come through the same channel He did, and He was an example.
Right.
So he's in the very message, the very light that He is sent for this day. He dwells in that. If whatever He's doing it in the presence of that light for this day.
Right.
That's where He is. You understand? That's where God is. He dwells in that light. And if we walk in that same presence, that the same spirit of the same word that has been vindicated of this day, that's when we have true fellowship with one another, with God's family. And that's when we, in this day, have access to the blood.
Amen.
Right? That's how our sins are covered, because we're walking in the light of the day.
Right.
That scripture ties the walking and the message of your day to the blood. Amen. We have to have something that ties us to the blood. Amen?
Right.
We do. You forgive me, I printed out my notes, and I usually do 14-point type, and I did it in 12. So, amen? We have to have access to the blood to be forgiven of our sins. And so there has to be something that ties us to that blood. You know, in the Old Testament, they would bring their lamb. You've heard it so many times. They'd bring the lamb there, and they'd hold it, and they would cut that throat, and that thing would, and the blood would get on the person, and so that person would walk away with an evidence that something died in their place. It was the blood. You could see it, and they would walk away knowing. So that blood was tied them to that sacrifice, that hey, their sins were pushed off for another year or for that period of time. And we understand now that it's not the blood now, it's the life that was in the blood, because the life that was in the animal in that blood could not come back into the heart of a person and change him. But when Christ came and he died, well, then that life that was in the blood now can come back upon humans and changes. Right? And so we've heard it so many times that the Holy Ghost, you know, that is the token. That is the life. That is proof that you're one of his, because he gives you of his spirit. And so we understand those things, but we have to have something that ties us to that sacrifice.
Right.
Right? And so when we read this scripture, it says that if we walk in this light, then we have access to that blood. So it's imperative that we walk in the truth of our day that's been vindicated, not by something man says, not by something the president said, something some Baptist convention said or whatever, but something that God has taken from his word, and he has brought it to pass, showing that this is right, because it had a supernatural unfolding of the presence of God on it that man could not do. Then you can walk in that. You can walk in that life and have confidence. And so, we know that the scripture says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins.
Right. That's right.
So in order for that life that was in there to come back upon us, that life had to be sacrificed. That life had to be rejected. Jesus Christ, you realize the life of God and what God was doing throughout all ages was rejected by the masses. It was just a few people along the way that God would work through, and the rest rejected it. So it was dripping with blood.
Yeah.
Always has been. All through the ages. And then when Jesus came here, he was rejected. And he's still today the rejected Christ. And whatever form he comes in, whatever he's doing, you know it's rejected, because the world rejects Christ.
Yeah. Right?
Right? And so you can understand from that in every age, because it was rejected, there was a bleeding word, bleeding life of God through every age. And so even in our day, the light that shines, that God is in, is rejected. But that makes it the bleeding word. That makes it the blood. Right? Because it can't be accepted by the masses, because then it's not rejected. It has to be a rejected message that most of the world hates, for it to be a bleeding word. That is why the sermon come along, the indictment of this generation for crucifying Jesus Christ again.
Right?
Right? They didn't crucify the man in flesh 2,000 years ago again, but when he came with vindicated word, light for the age, and that's rejected, it became the bleeding word, and those who walk in that same light have access to that blood. Now I'll let you decide what happens if you don't have walk in that light.
Right.
Let the word explain what happens to people who reject God's word. Right? Amen. So we want to walk in the spirit of the light that God has given in our day. A natural type spiritual. Don't get lost in this, okay? So light is something that It is particles. It's particles called protons. And they come from a source. And they travel from the source of it to other things. And so it carries energy. There's an energy that comes from that source that comes to whatever it strikes. And so they are particles. So if you like BB gun, you shoot it at a particle, you know, it would go straight line, and it would hit the same target. They're particles, but they act like waves. And so I don't have this all memorized enough that I can give you a perfect explanation of it, but I'll try to give you what the Holy Spirit would have me share with you this morning on this. And so they have this thing called a double slit experiment where they take photons and they shoot these photons through two openings, two slits, where it can pass through and hit an object on the other side. And when you have just one slit, you know, you're just, these particles go through and they hit the same spot every time. Have another slit, hits the same spot every time. But when you have two different slits, then these particles, they don't go straight, they fan out. So this is how they prove that these particles actually are traveling like a wave, but yet they're particles. I know that may sound complicated. I don't want you to get lost in that, because I'll get to something just a little bit later and that makes a lot of sense. So because they travel as waves, you know what a wave is. When Brother Tim hits a string on his guitar, that string is vibrating in a sinusoidal wave. Light is waves, right? Sound is waves. Sound pressure in sinusoidal wave. And so you find out that because light is a wave, then it has frequency. The frequency is how often it does this cycle. And so as you change the tune on a string, as you go higher in pitch, that means that it's vibrating faster. If you go lower in pitch, it's slower, right? And so light is these particles, but they travel with characteristics of waves, and these waves, as they go, they cycle at different frequencies, and so when it's a different frequency, it appears as a different color. So the frequency, just like we hear a different tone, it's just simply the same sound pressure level. It just sounds different. It's observed differently. Some people can hear some higher tones better than low, and vice versa. Some people have receptors to hear things, right? Brother Tim's got ears to hear music like I wish I could do, right? And same thing. Some people, my boss can hear frequencies when they go high enough in our lab where nobody else can hear it, he can hear it, right? Like a dog can. A dog can hear higher frequency. But all it is means it's a faster, it's got more cycles per second. Yeah. Measured in hertz, megahertz, gigahertz, terahertz. At some point they start referring to it as wavelengths. And so this light that is particles traveling with wave natures, and it comes and the source can emit it, and it can be all kinds of frequencies, all kinds of colors, right? And so some people can be receptors to some colors better than others, right? So you realize that as it goes, and it's gonna, as light comes from God, you know, that it's not always the same tone, but it's always light. Right. So so it comes out and he can send out different tones, and different tones will affect different people, different ages, differently. Amen. And so we understand that there are seven primary colors in light. And so we see that in the rainbow. Seven colors in a rainbow. The colors, this first letter of the colors, they call it Roy G. Biv, right? And so those seven colors there, they come forth and they represent God's covenant. When God put the rainbow on the cloud, his covenant to his people had seven colors to it. But we know from what we just talked about that all of those colors are light. They're just different frequencies. Right? You know, as light passes through water, that's what makes it. Passes through water, as it passes through that medium, because the frequencies are different, they bend differently. And so when they come out as different colors. Because they're different frequencies. But as it went in there, all of those colors were there, and it was, well, we'll call it white light, as it all was there, but as it passed through water or glass, it separates those out, and you realize that, hey, this white light that was first coming out here, that really what was in there was seven different colors. It's actually infinite, but seven primary colors. So you realize, hey, that was in the light. When the scripture says God is light, then you know in God is the capability to express himself, right, in different frequencies, different colors, right? We understand that. But it's all God. Now, take one specific color, that's not all God because there's other colors. Right? But it's part of him. Part of God. And so, each one of those different colors carry energy. So the source has an energy. The source has something that it sends forth. And it comes forth, and each one of those seven colors pack the energy of its color. Amen? And so like I just said, white light, you know, white noise, sounds like a shh. It's all frequencies. You can use that to determine the reflections and how to set up microphones in this room, because you can flood the room with shh, noise like that, and all frequencies are in there, and some frequencies will bounce off of some things different than others better. And you know, you can use it to tune an auditorium audibly. And so these characteristics also work, you know, in waves that you can't see. Okay, but there's a very powerful thing here as what you can do with, and you understand how waves work and what it means, and so. White light has all these colors in it, has all this energy in it, and so when it passes through rain or passes through a prism, it changes and shows that there's seven different colors. Why did God make it that way? Why wasn't it 20? Right? Do you look at it, you see what I'm saying? It was seven, because God, he has all these things unfold, and he uses the number seven over and over and over. And so that's why he did that. Like I said, don't get stuck in this. We're going somewhere with this. Okay? And so it passes through a prism and creates seven colors. Each one of them is part of that white light. But if you bring all of those seven colors back together, when you mix all those back together, you have white, purity, righteousness. You take all the seven, I'll explain this. You already know where I'm going, but you take all those seven and you bring them all back together and you have the original again. Think about it. I'm telling you what God has done in our day. What he's done through the ages, but what specifically the light for this day. You bring all those seven colors back together, you have the original again. So we understand that, you know, it took the manifestation of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, not three gods, but God manifesting himself as Father, manifesting himself as Son, manifesting himself as the Holy Spirit. It took all three of those manifestations to get it to where he could come into a people with his Holy Spirit. Because he had to unfold all that before we could have access to that blood and to that Holy Spirit. So I like to think of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost as the prism. That God would take his life, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, he'd pass himself through those manifestations, and when he would come through those manifestations, he would fan out into seven different ages. New Testament church. Seven ages, seven colors, seven messengers, seven seals, seven trumpets, seven vials, You understand what I'm saying? God is all God. Now remember, we tie it to spoken word, his original seed. All that was in God, he put into Christ. Then all that Christ was, he put into his church. So here comes Christ, and the life of God passes through, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, passes through Jesus Christ and comes out into the New Testament with seven ages, seven different manifestations, seven different frequency changes of the same light, the same God. Each one of them a portion of God. And he would express that to the New Testament. And that's the history we have of the New Testament church. How God was in all those people living just a little bit different than what he did previous age. They're all a little bit different, right? But they all were part of God.
Right.
He would express himself that way. And so, with each one of those lights, was what was it? It was a vindicated word for the day. That's what light is. A vindicated message is light. And so there was a vindicated word in Paul's day and all the seven messages. There was something God that had been written that was to come, and God brought it on the scene and made it come to pass, and people could hang their lives on it and walk in that light for that day, right? But it was only part of God. But the fact that it was God, it was light, it was something he sent, and it was salvation for the day. It was access to the blood for that day. Amen. I know, you know, this is not new, but you know how the Lord can bring things together and reignite your understanding and your zeal for what God has done. And so, that's why we're sharing these things. So, each one of those lights, we know that was because it was a message. Then there was a messenger. Now, there was a messenger who brought that light for the day. God brought it, but he did it through the ministry of those seven messengers. And that is what the church walked in. That was their Holy Ghost move through the day. To believe what God had brought to pass in their day that had been foretold, but now God had brought it to pass and did something that only he could do. Not man. Not man's interpretation of it. And so, he expressed Christ, expressed himself, poured himself out into the church, and then when he poured that out, it was seven different variations of light. Creating seven ages, seven messengers, seven people, seven trumpets, or seven seals, excuse me, seven ages. And so, when all of that had, you know, Roy G. Biv, right, ends with violet, red, right, orange, yellow, and it ends with violet. Now remember, each one of those pack energy. Each one of those, as God sent it forth, packed a blessing for that day. That light could go and could accomplish for the people of that day what he intended for that day. And he would do that seven different times. And I looked it up. You can look it up. And so the energy that light packs, the energy that it packs and it carries is tied to what color it is. And you punch it in. Just say, what color of light packs the most energy? And it's the last one. It's violet. Violet. In other words, the light here at the last move of God,
right,
the last thing he would send would be actually, in all this, would pack greater impact than the others. Right?
Right.
You know, there's actually, we're just talking about visible light. This whole spectrum has actually got seven different spectrums. Seven. But within just within ours that we're talking about, because there were three prior to this, and then we have visible, and there's three after that. Okay? We're not even, that's, but you understand, we're just talking about that as you pass through, the last color is violet, and it packs the most energy. Amen. Packs the greatest effect on God's people. Amen. So God expressed himself through all these colors. And when it's all over and done with, this was all that God was, he put in Christ, and this was all that was in Christ that he spread out through seven ages. That's Christ. Right? Now what happens now? After those seven ages have been expressed. When you, as I said a while ago, when you gather all those together again, and you put them all together, you have Christ in the fullness again. You have white. You have righteousness. And you've got an energy level greater than anything that was in any of the seven ages. Think about it. Amen? Greater. And so, God gathered those seven lights back together after the seven church age messengers had lived out their life. And while one of them was still alive on this earth, and God would use him to bring all this, you know, come through this, then God would take and brought together all those seven messengers, all those seven angels, brought them back together into one great thing at the opening of the seals. All seven of those angels came. What was God doing? Everything that he had poured out through all the church ages, now he's getting ready to rapture a people. He's going to bring a whole bunch up. And every age has to be represented in that rapture. So he's going to gather them all together. And so all of those seven angels come and come to that prophet. And God takes him there and brings the opening of the seven seals. And so you realize that when God did that, when God brought that opening of the seven seals, it wasn't partial word anymore. It was all of it together as one. This is why you could call it, this is not the Laodicean angel. I mean, Laodicea is out there, but for the bride, though that Laodicea is going in darkness, light has sprung up. And what light has sprung up? Is it red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet? Which is it? It's all of it. Why? Because it's the hour for rapture. It's the hour for a body change and a calling of all those angels out of the graves. They all have to be called out. And so in order to do that, all those messengers, all that light has to be gathered back in and show and prove that, guess what? This was Christ to begin with. God just poured it all out into his church. And now we're going to take and we're going to open the seven seal book and we're going to show you who was who. We're going to show you that Luther was in Christ. Wesley was in Christ. We're going to show you these things. So God would have to bring all, supernaturally bring it all together. And when the opening of the seals opened, it showed what each one of them was and that they were part of Christ. So this message is not partial word anymore. It's full word. Now, I just told you that we're just talking about visible spectrum. God's got things outside of all this we're talking about because he's God. But what he has allotted to us as a people who have receptors to see light, visible light spectrum, like if you want to look at it from a natural standpoint, that when all that has been metered out, that he could gather all that back together and show you that if you take Paul and Irenaeus and Luther and Wesley and all those, you'll take all those sermons and all those messages and you pack it together in one thing, what you see is the fullness of Christ.
Yeah, right.
And it's been brought to us in clarity today. That makes it the light of the day. Because he said he would do these things, and here we are, and it's happened, and that makes it vindicated light. Therefore, to navigate safely and to get where we're going in this day, that's the light that we have to walk in. To walk in anything else, you're going to come up shorthanded. That's walking in the light of our day. You know, it takes a brighter light to see better. You know, if I get a splinter sometimes at home, or we got microscopes and stuff at work that makes a splinter look about that big on your finger or whatever, you know. But you know, you got to maybe get something, pick a splinter out. How many knows what I'm talking about? Well, I don't go into a dark room to do that. Right. And you know what? I don't go, honey, where's that red light? I'm going to get that red light so I can, you don't do that.
Right.
You don't pick some light of some color. You pick a light that has all colors. So light of all colors allow you to see better than partial.
Right.
So why would we want to walk in just, well, Pentecostal blessing or justification with Luther or whatever? Why would we want to just limit it to that? Why not take all of those things that was all Christ and let's walk in that? Because when that happens, we've got light so clear, so bright, so much more energy level, can reveal more, can show things better. You can say, well, I thought I had it all clean, and then somebody turned the light on, and I found out there was a lot of places I'd missed. You think, oh, I'm a good Christian. Brother, sister, if you'll let this word light you up, you will find out where you're deficient. Right? None of us want to appear before him deficient.
Right.
Well, he has sent word to do it. He has sent a message that is not anything. It's not just something that wasn't written in the Bible. It's something that was in the Bible, but now it's been made known, right? So you know, I pray you just understand that no matter how I look at this Bible, everywhere I go, it vindicates what I see God has done. We're here. This is it. This is where he's the final move, where he's getting ready to change his people. Amen. And so, you just see it. And Brother Bam said, when you read the Bible, if you don't see Jesus Christ on every verse, every line, well then go back and read it again because you've read it wrong. And he tells us that the seventh seal was revealed and shown all through the Bible. And I can't help but believe that when I see what God has done in this day, and I look back and I can see it all through the Scriptures, everything in the Scriptures point to Christ, and everything in these Scriptures point to the unfolding of this light of the full manifestation of Christ today. I can't help but believe it. What am I looking at but the unfolding of the seventh seal?
Right, yeah.
I see it all over the place. Amen. Can't help us but believe that. So, it's light for the day. It's complete word. Like I said, God has things outside of visible spectrum, but this is what God has allotted to the Gentile age to say, this is how I'm going to save a people in the New Testament. In this Gentile, it's going to be how I express myself through seven messengers, and how that at the end I'll bring it back and I will show you that these seven men and these seven messages were seven lights, and they were Christ. And I'm going to bring them all back together and bring the fullness of them into the presence of the church again to call the names of all the people of all those ages, including the last age. I'm going to do that. And that's what he has done. That's what he's doing now. This message is calling our names. This message is proving that our names are on that Lamb's Book of Life, because you wouldn't see it and hear it if it wasn't. Amen. Complete word again. So it's light. If we walk in this light, then you know the rest of the Scripture. If we do. But what if we don't? What if we refuse to accept what God has done through supernatural and take somebody else's word for it? Somebody, some rogue website. Right? Those things mean nothing to me. You know why? Because I see the word has been brought to pass. The word is unfolded. Amen. Of course, if what your revelation is just a bunch of man stuff, then it'll blow up when things like that come. But if it's of God, the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. And that's why there's still people standing and believing and loving. Because it's true. Living out a testimony for the ages. For this age. And so, light has shifted now. It's no longer one color. But it's the fullness of Jesus Christ who has returned to this earth to take a bride.
All right.
When she marries him, she don't marry just one color. She marries all of him. Amen? Let me say it that way to make it clear. To marry him, you have to marry the entire package. You get the full thing. Amen. It's now a full light experience. And of course, that gives us access to the blood. Amen. We cannot in this age walk in partial word. It's too treacherous. Let me say it this way so you understand. This is a very deceiving age, and you can't make it through this age just believing Luther's doctrine or Wesley's doctrine or Pentecost. Pentecostals, that's all it's about. All Pentecost. But you have to understand that you have the Pentecostal movement, but you have to understand justification and sanctification. All that has to be there too. You can't just have one thing. Because every denomination, they rally around their one thing. But you can't denominate Christ. Right? And so, we can't navigate in this age with some partial something. The only way we can navigate is through the full manifested word that has been brought to pass. Now, if you remember a while ago, I said, you know, it depends on what you see. I'm almost done, but I want to hit this point. It depends on how you see it. When you see God unfolding and you see these supernatural events that he is telling us is light to walk in, and you look at that, it depends on what you perceive that to be. Because if you perceive that to be something that's not God, then you can't receive the benefits of what it was sent for. You don't have receptors for it. But if you can see it, then the blessings that is in that word, let me say it this way, the energy that's coming from those photons, that's coming from God spiritually, that energy comes there, and if you see it for what it is, then it locks that blessing of what that energy is, what that purpose is, it locks that into your life. Because you have to have something that connects you to it. And so it matters what you see and what you perceive that to be. You have to know this is God. And so how you perceive it affects what the result is in your life. Right? And so back to light just for a moment about its characteristics. Talk about it being photons and having wave-like structures and so forth. In this double slit experiment that they do, they found out that as you shoot these photons through these slits, you know, that they don't just land in one spot. They fan out because they're waves. But when you observe it, just by observing, it stops the wave function and makes it a particle, and it hits a certain spot. I know it. You can go look at it yourself. But when they take and they're shooting those photons through those double slits, if it's just one slit, it lands in one spot or the other one spot. But when it's two, it gets all these different variations of stripes, and they call it an interference pattern. And so it's like that, but with observance. When you observe it, it stops and locks it into one thing. See, the Word of God has come forth. And it is giving a message. And how you observe it, affects what the results are. And you can look all that up. Let me see if I can read a little bit up here. When observing quantum light, it can behave differently depending on whether the path of the photon is monitored. Depends on whether it's monitored or not. When there's no monitoring, when neither slit is monitored, photons appear to pass through both slits simultaneously, interfering with themselves, makes an interference pattern of different things there, acting like a wave. This creates an interference pattern on the screen, which is visible due to the varying densities of particles where they hit. So these particles are coming through, and you'd think they'd go right through that slit and hit right there, but they don't. They fan out, and they interact with each other, and so they make light and dark places there. But when you monitor this path, either path is monitored, photons appear to pass through one slit or the other, and you don't see the interference. Interference is not seen. This is because the act of observance itself influences the behavior of the quantum particles. This suggests that the observer plays a crucial role in determining the outcome of the experiment. What you observe. This is quantum physics and stuff, and they're like, wow, this is crazy stuff. But this is light and natural type spiritual. And it matters how you observe it. Once you observe what you see, that's what it is for your life. If you hear him saying you're an eagle, it's an eagle. If you hear him say buzzard, it's a buzzard. It's what you hear from that word, what you see that light be when you walk in it, that's who you are. That's identification. And so you understand it does matter whether or not we walk in the light. Amen? If you walk in the light, not a partial light, but a full manifestation. I know years ago I did God is Light. That PowerPoint is actually on that computer right there, but a lot parts of it doesn't work for some reason. And I would show that to you where I illustrate this whole thing about God spreading himself through seven ages. But you realize these things we're talking about we're able to talk about this because this is the revealing of that full perfect word brought back to the church once again. This is terminology we use all the time that outside of the message they don't have a clue. Right? And I'm not saying that to make it clear. I'm just saying God's doing something. And it matters what we do and how we see that message, what we allow it to be in our lives. If you believe it, then it locks you in as a believer. Amen. But you know the same waters that lifted Noah up and took him to safety is the same waters that condemned the rest. You know the same word God can hide himself and reveal himself in the simplicity of it. You understand that? And so the same unfolding of this end time message that God is rapturing a people with is bringing judgment upon the rest of the world. Because it's always been that way. Right? It's always been that way. Amen. But we are thankful that the Lord has done so many great things in our day. This word is right. Amen. This word is correct. Every promise that it made is yours. Amen. I don't mean the promises to the wicked. I'm saying the promises to the righteous. It's yours. But you have to claim it. Amen. When you see it in the gospel, you run with it. Amen. And the Lord bless you. Let's just pray. Bow our hearts and musicians can come. Lord, we thank you for your blessings upon us this day. That you've sent us such a clear light to walk in today, bringing clarity. Your Bible, Lord, has become, as we've said so many times, heard said, it has become a new book. Lord, whenever in the seven ages man reading the Bible had run out and could it, as it were, glean no more out of your scriptures, Lord, but you have come this day and you've made this word come alive again. It's always been living, Lord. But now you've opened our eyes. And Lord, we believe that you have a people in this last day with the receptors to see all these things, see the full colored rainbow spectrum of your presence in your people now. And Lord, I pray that each one of us, that we learn through your word and through a life of commitment to you, Lord, that we learn to accept all these things because it's who you are. And Lord, as in accepting, it becomes who we are. We love you, Lord. We commit each one of these your children into your hands. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.